Hi, this is Scott Unash. Thanks for listening to the Gym Class Podcast on KGYM. 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids. 106.3 FM. That's our address in South Gym in Iowa City. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Kyle Mann, our producer, on the other side of the glass. And you, as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour, your sports programming getting underway here locally on KGYM will be followed by the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way from 4 o'clock until 6:30 tonight. Out a little bit early due to coverage from Westwood One of the NCAA Men's Basketball Championship, as it'll be Texas Tech taking on Virginia coming up tonight from Minneapolis. And we will have that game, as I mentioned, on all three frequencies. And Mark, we should reprise our Saturday here today, shouldn't we? I think a lot of people are outside taking advantage of the gorgeous weather that we have around Eastern Iowa. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, as they should be. We had a nice day on Saturday getting out on the golf course, and it's an even better day today, and that's great for the spring sports, baseball, track, what have you, soccer, tennis, who often struggle during the spring. But it's a great time of year. We've got NCAA Women's Championship in the books, the Men's Championship tonight. Colonels at home tonight, a brilliant night for that game.
Oh, yes.
Masters Week. I don't care that the Cubs have a home opener today. Every other team does too, right? They're 2-7? Yeah. Okay.
They are winning, though. Winning today.
Yeah, when a Pirate shortstop commits 3 errors in 1 inning, that doesn't hurt. Anyway.
We have the Final Four, and it is Texas Tech against Virginia coming up tonight. And that's kind of a good place to start here today. You are welcome to chime in, 319-366-1600. That's a Hurtine & Stocker Jewelers text line, 319-366-1600. Hurtine & Stocker Jewelers, located on the Penn Mall in downtown Iowa City, where it's hopping today, I would imagine, as well. If you want to go outside, great. Take us along with you. We got the KGYM Radio app that you can download, listen. You can also listen, kgymradio.com. Hit the Listen Live link. Bring us along as you're walking the dog or out hitting some golf balls or out doing some yard work, whatever the case may be. I did get some yard work done this weekend, so yard's looking better.
Somebody in our home did, too. I did very little of it. I mean, it's crazy how sore you get after one round of golf. And I know a lot of you are chuckling out there. Chime in on the text line. Go ahead. 366-1600. But that first time out, you're using muscles that you haven't used
for
a while.
Months.
And when you're not middle-aged anymore, you feel it.
Thanks to Kevin and Mike and everybody out at St. Andrews.
Yeah, yeah.
Our hosts on Saturday had a good time out there. And a lot of people got out. Imagine a lot of people getting out today as well. All right, tonight, Texas Tech, Virginia. Should it be Texas Tech, Virginia? Mark, that was the big controversy that ran about 48 hours, probably still running a little bit. Was it a foul at the end of the game? A Purifoy foul, Kyle Guy, with 6/10 of a second remaining in that national semifinal that allowed Guy to take 3 free throws. He connected on all 3 said free throws. Virginia got the victory, and it seems people are torn still by the fact, was that a foul or was that not a foul?
I don't know. From what I've heard and read, most people support the fact that, as Gene Steratore explained on the broadcast, as an A to B defensive player jumped into the offensive player, even though it was after the shot had left the shooter's hands. The only person I've really heard disagreeing with the call today is John Thompson, the former Georgetown coach, who made kind of a two-prong assessment of it, that, you know, had that been with 15 minutes left in the first half, probably would not have been called.
And it wasn't.
It takes
called
a lot of guts for that official who was right on the spot. He was right there. It takes a lot of guts for that official to make that call. I personally think it was the right call. Thompson also said that the shot was already off, and then the defensive player went into the offensive player. I don't think that matters. Does it?
It doesn't matter because you have...
Maybe you could call it after the shot foul. I don't know.
You have... Phil Dunn, who has done basketball with me for so many years...
Learned Phil Dunn.
...said you must protect the jump shooter. And I agree with that to a certain extent. But I will say this, and Phil's probably listening. Hi, Phil. As he gets after class today at Prairie Middle School. But I will say this. I saw a lot more contact for the first 39 minutes and 59 seconds of that basketball game on three-point shots and or jump shots. That was not called. So why do you call that one in the corner then at the most amazing time of that basketball game? That's my only question of it. Was it a foul by the letter of the law? Yes, it was a foul. It was a foul.
Did you pick up the double dribble before that?
Yes.
Did you see it live?
Absolutely, double dribble.
I missed it.
It was a double dribble.
I missed it. The player tried to dribble behind his back. It knocked off his shoe. He picked it up and started dribbling again. No call there.
No.
And that was a Virginia player, by the way.
Correct. Yeah. 319-366-1600. If you want to let us know your view on the text line, phone line as well, open again at 319-366-1600.
Poll question today at KGYMRadio.com is a real simple one, brought to you by Emo's Hideaway. This year's men's basketball champion will be Virginia or Texas Tech. Thanks to Emo's on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
The other thing that comes about with, and you know what, give Kyle Guy a lot of credit for stepping up there and banging home three free throws.
Onions.
As well, because a lot of people wouldn't have the intestinal fortitude to make that happen. He did. Maybe he was a little angry still that they made him take down his registry for the wedding coming up, his upcoming nuptials.
Yeah.
But at any rate, he did, knocked it down, and Virginia escapes for the second straight time, as they will now take on Texas Tech. I am fully prepared, Mark. I think the bigger question tonight is not who is going to win the basketball game. I think it's going to be a terrific game. But remember, A, I'm a college basketball guy. B, I love watching good fundamental defense. And you're not going to find two teams that play better fundamental defense in college basketball than Texas Tech and Virginia. Texas Tech blanketed Michigan State. Really did a good job against the Spartans. As far as Texas Tech's defense is concerned, I think they got a fighting shot tonight to win this thing. I give them a 50-50 chance to win this thing tonight if they stay out of foul trouble.
Well, I have to root for them because if Texas Tech wins, I win the CBS Bracket Challenge.
And you get, I think you get top three in the office
pool,
too.
Virginia wins, Grant Becker of CBS 2 wins.
You got this all. See, I stopped paying attention after I was out of this thing.
Well, I've led this thing from almost wire to wire, this celebrity challenge, whatever it's called. But it could go down tonight.
Could go down
tonight. No, I think it's going to be a great game as well. And as 6019 noted on the text line, two new teams tonight, and no Duke, no Sparty. Love it.
Very much so.
Sparty looked bad.
I think it was more Texas Tech looking good. Maybe I'm wrong on that. What do you think out there? 319-366-1600.
On the shot in the corner, Matt at 8130, landing is still part of the act of shooting. Officiating as a whole has been awful slash absent in the NCAA tournament. 58-22, definitely double dribble there. If it was a foul after the shot, he would have gotten three. He would have gotten three free throws. Wouldn't have gotten, would he? If it was after the shot?
Yes, but they deemed it was part of the shot after the follow through.
Wasn't that a good piece of officiating?
Well, he missed a double dribble.
Well, that wasn't.
Like I said, there was jostling and banging for 39 minutes and 59 seconds. That were harder contacted plays than that one was. That one was in the open, though. And boy, it seems that more often than not, you don't see something like that called in the last seconds of a big game like that.
Yeah.
This time it was, and it benefited Virginia at that particular time.
Obviously, a tough way to lose for Bruce Pearl and Auburn.
Some people would say excruciating. Some people might say karma played a little bit.
I saw a little bit of that.
Of a factor into that game on Saturday. Just a little bit. Not saying anything. That's just what I read.
99-47 on the text line. My friend is a referee in high school basketball. He said it was a foul because you have to let the player land.
True. Protect the jump shooter.
Mm-hmm.
By the letter of the law, it was a foul. I have no problem with that. I just have a problem with, well, okay, then why didn't you call the rest of it and the timing of it? That's what I had a problem. That's why I had a problem with it. But Virginia gets the victory, and now I'm very much prepared. We'll talk about this with Mike Halas coming up in just a little bit, the Gazette sports columnist. I'm very much prepared to hear all of the complaining for the next 2 days about what a boring game this will be tonight. It will more than likely be one of the lower rated finals in history because it's Texas Tech, Virginia. You do have new blood out there, which I think is fantastic, and these two teams deserve to be there. They've been two of the best teams going down the line. Texas Tech was your Big 12 champion. Virginia was right there as far as regular season in the ACC goes.
First time, I believe, since 1984, Georgetown and Houston, that two teams have reached the championship game after scoring in the 60s. In the semifinals.
Somebody gets to the 60s tonight, they will win.
Yeah.
First to 40, I think, tonight is going to win. You had two pretty good comebacks in that game the other day in the two semifinal games out there. But I think it's going to be a very low-rated game as far as viewership and listenership is concerned. I hope everybody tunes in, by the way, on KGYM. We do appreciate that. But it's not moving the national needle, and when people see the halftime score is going to be, you know, whatever, 22-21 or whatever. They're going to say, oh, it's boring.
No real star power. No Zion Williamson.
Well, you got Culver out there.
Yeah, but he's not a national star.
He should be. He's very good. Big 12 player of the year. Let's go to Mike in Cedar Rapids. Wants to comment on the officiating in that national semifinal game on Saturday evening. Hi, Mike. How you doing out there?
Hey, just a couple of quick things on that, you know, on that double dribble call, which I was watching the game, happened to watch at that time. But I heard, and I haven't heard it since, I heard one commentator say something about before that guy double dribbled that ball off his foot or whatever, you know, he was grabbed by the shirt and they didn't call that either. So the ball should have changed, you know, he should have been a foul right there and the double dribble off the foot wouldn't have happened. The other thing is, on that three-point shot in the corner, I kind of blame some of that on coaching. Now, you watch basketball all year long. How many times do you see at the end of a game or the end of a half, you know a guy's going to launch a three-pointer, and here comes a defender running out at him, puts his hands up in the air, and jumps into him?
Yep.
Couldn't you coach? Isn't that part of coaching, to teach your guys what to do and what not to do?
It is, I think, Mike. And interestingly enough, since the game ended, Bruce Pearl has said that he drew up the exact play that Virginia was going to run and his kids couldn't execute it.
Right. I mean, you know, it just seems like that happens so many times at the end of games.
You're right. You're right. And don't give the official a chance to blow the whistle.
That's what I'm getting at. That's what I'm getting at. And how many times do you see a guy block a shot anyway trying to do that? Never.
Yeah.
I mean, get out there, show good defense, but don't make contact.
You'd be better off if you pretend like you were going to tackle him. I said pretend, not tackle him. But
correct.
You know what I mean.
Run at the midsection. You know, the Y, the noontime, over 40
right.
thing, run right at the midsection.
And yeah, the fake punch. All right. Hey, thanks.
Thanks,
I enjoy
Mike.
Your guys' program
thanks,
a lot.
Mike.
All right,
appreciate
thanks.
It.
Thanks, appreciate that. I don't condone doing that at the local Y, by the way. 319-366-1600. More comments on the Hurt Team, the Stocker Jeweler text line. Wally is going to be quick before.
You bet I am.
All right.
Always. Okay, here we go. first off, did Mike say the guy, and you get made some good points, Mike, and you guys are on all cylinders today, are hammering this game perfect. But did he say the Auburn guy grabbed the Virginia guy by the back of the jersey before the double dribble or after?
Before, which may have caused
it. No, he grabbed him after the double dribble. He grabbed him after he picked up the ball.
There was jostling.
Huh?
There was jostling going on.
Right. Anyway, bottom line is this, guys. Why can't, if the official missed the call, can he, since the play was virtually at a standstill, couldn't he just stop play, ask the other two officials, did you see what happened there? Because, obviously, if the ball got knocked away or if it didn't get knocked away, it wouldn't have been double dribble the first scenario. The second scenario was. And like I said, you guys got a great show run. That's all I got. Thanks.
Thanks, Wally.
Thanks, Wally. See appreciate back. It.
Well, maybe we ought to defer to the text line 5232. As a referee, it's extremely hard to pull the trigger on a double dribble that late in a close game.
But they called the foul. If it's a double dribble, it's a double dribble, right?
The play in the corner was to win the game.
That would have been free throws there, though.
Yeah. I mean, with slow motion and replay, it's so easy to pick apart officiating.
And we don't need any more replay in the last 2 minutes of a college basketball tournament game.
Not particularly, no.
No, just don't want that out there. 319-366-1600. As we talk about the Final Four, getting ready for tonight's national championship game between Texas Tech and Virginia. Other things, by the way. It wasn't only the Final Four that took place over the weekend. You had the women's Final Four.
Yeah.
And I think that, in fact, I know, and maybe just because of the fact that women's basketball was just so prominent this year in the state of Iowa, I think more people stood up and paid a lot of attention as far as women's college basketball is concerned. But that was a doozy of a national championship
sure was.
Game yesterday. And you know, if you did not see some of it, I mean, shame on you. That was a good game. Women's game continues to grow. And like I said, it's easy for me to say that this year around here because of Megan Gustafson, because of Bridget Carlton, what Drake is doing, what UNI is doing. But then you've got Muffet McGraw saying what she did at the Final Four over the weekend, some of her comments. You know, the game is growing as far as the women's game is concerned. There's no doubt about that. And that was just an amazing game. You had everything in that women's basketball game yesterday. You really did. Unfortunately, an injury that really changed the way that game was being played. I think Notre Dame wasn't going to come back and win that thing or have a shot at winning that thing if Cox doesn't get hurt for Baylor. I mean, you feel bad for her. You had just had so many things going in that game yesterday.
Terrific game, a one-point victory for Baylor. And it was an emotional win for the Bears because of Lauren Cox's injury. Fortunately, she has another year left. And assuming she rehabs, she'll come back to the program. But, yeah, no UConn in the championship game. But you had Baylor facing the defending national champion. And they fought right down to the wire, and it was fun to watch.
It was, and Kim Mulkey wins the championship every 7 years. I think you put your good hard-earned cash on Baylor winning a national championship, apparently, 2005, 2012, and now 2019.
Wouldn't count them out next year.
No, but without Cox next year, she graduates. But or does she?
Has one more year left, I believe.
Oh, does she have one more? Okay, mm-hmm. My bad. My bad then. Yeah, that's going to be a pretty darn good team. But they lose the point guard who came up with the shot to win it on the layup. That team had everything. And Notre Dame was terrific. Hopefully that will push women's basketball forward even more as far as the national landscape is concerned.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping anyway. And it was great to see, like I said, Iowa and Iowa State and Drake to be a part of that thing. And you and I get to go to the women's NIT as well. Really neat to see that. And like I said, hopefully it will continue to grow the women's game.
Two anniversaries today, Scott. I want to know where you were and what you were doing.
Okay.
Hank Aaron hits number 715 on this day, 1974.
I could not tell you where I was when I was 8 years old in 1974.
I was a senior at the time. I believe I was watching. I think it was televised.
I read somewhere it was televised, but it wasn't TBS. They weren't around.
Yeah, they weren't around then. Yeah,
they weren't around then. But
maybe it's a cut-in of some kind. I don't remember for sure. But the thing I found interesting about that, you know, the fans running onto the field, even a couple reporters,
45 years ago today.
Yeah. The second one was on this date. So 1973, we received about a foot of snow.
Yeah, oh, I remember that. Yeah.
Anamosa, I think, got a foot and a half. Other places got tons more. Where were you? What'd you do? I remember the day before, I think, or 2 days before, it was a day like this.
Yes, it was.
70, 75 degrees.
By the way, it's supposed to have snow showers this coming Friday, Mark. Just foreshadowing things here. Meteorologist Mark Dukes.
I certainly hope not.
But it's all his fault if this thing goes south.
And we got dumped on. I was living in the northeast side near Twin Pine Golf Course at the time, and I was coming back across Edgewood Road Bridge, heading for my house with a friend of mine in the vehicle. And my driver's side window down because I couldn't see. It was snowing so damn hard that I had to peer out the driver's side window. But, you know, a couple, 3 days later, it was all gone.
Yeah, it was.
Maybe it took a little bit longer.
It took about 5 days. What I remember, we were living out by Robbins and where I grew up on the west side of Robbins. And the main street was completely snowed in. I remember our neighbor tried to take his brand new 4x4 through several large drifts in on said road, and we got it out 3 days later. I remember that people used snowmobiles to go to the grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it's no one saw this coming. They knew there was going to be some snow. No one saw the foot of snow coming.
I don't remember what Conrad Johnson had to say about that storm.
It was some sort of perfect scenario that came up that caused all of this. And the famous Gazette photograph of Blair's Ferry Road with all the cars stranded on Blair's Ferry Road under snowdrifts. That was before all the businesses were there on the south side of Blair's Ferry by Council Street there. And yeah, that had, I do 1973.
Was
right?
Frary at nine? Then?
Oh, I'm sure he was.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was. And Denny would tell you he got it right. I'm just kidding. If Denny's listening, the profit's down here today. Yesterday or over the weekend was the 30th anniversary of Major League, the movie coming out. That was a big one. I thought you were going to throw that one down, but.
There's a couple other baseball movies anniversaries in April as well. I can't recall.
April seems to be the time for baseball movies to go out. Speaking of baseball, a couple games going on, both in Chicago. As a matter of fact, the Cubs are pounding the Pirates 10-0 in the bottom of the fifth inning. John Lester did leave that game with what appears to be an injury. Have not heard anything. Have not read anything as well.
Kind of looked like he was when he was sliding into home plate on one of the three errors by the Pittsburgh shortstop. But yeah, it's undetermined right now. Or is it?
Oh, Kyle's breaking news. Or were you weren't around in 1973 for the snowstorm?
Not no 1973. I showed up a couple summers after that. Just a few. But regarding Lester, they're saying it's left hamstring, and there was just a little bit precautionary. So. Not saying it's torn or even strained at this point, but They're just looking at that left hamstring, making sure that nothing bad happened.
Why are you so sunburned?
I was in Florida over the weekend.
Jeez.
And at a wedding.
I actually was so much better with sunscreen than I normally am, but you'll notice the one part of my body that I forgot was my face. So it's been, it actually isn't as bad as you might think. It doesn't hurt as bad.
Okay. Well, thank you for the update. Appreciate
for
it.
For sure.
Bottom of the sixth inning on the south side. Tampa leading the White Sox 4-1 with two outs and two on for the Sox, tying run at the plate right now for
Tampa
Chicago.
After a nice start.
Yeah, don't I know it. Sox have had to play Cleveland, Seattle, and Tampa back-to-back-to-back. So, oh, well, get them out of the way early, I guess. 3:28, we're going to take a break. Come back, Mike Halas going to join us. We'll talk about the Men's National Basketball Championship in Minneapolis, coming up tonight with Mike. We'll do that when we return. 3:28, you're listening to The Gym Class right here on KGYM.
Are you remodeling your home? Do your window sashes show signs of rot, or do you feel drafts through closed windows? Replace those old windows with the all-new Alexander Lumber Window Line. All the windows in this line come standard with premium features, including a flex screen, lifetime warranties, and much more, in an array of colors and finishes. Learn more about this new, affordable, high-quality, stylish line of windows at Answers by Alexander, 1534 South Gilbert Street in Iowa City, and at Alexander Lumber, just 2 miles down the road at 2802 Independence Drive.
You've spent a lot of years in sweat, working hard. And when you're not doing that, you're focusing on the right things. Your kids, your parents, and paying the bills. Retirement sounds nice, but feels a million impossible miles away. But it's not. Hennings Financial talks with people like you every day. Average folks with a 401k and a bunch of questions. They'd be happy to answer yours. Hennings Financial, a family-owned firm helping regular families retire better. HenningsFinancial.com.
Because we have so many clients referring us to their friends, I think that's our biggest, best story. Hi, I'm Patty with Network Computer Solutions. I really think it's about us building that relationship and being an extension of their business. And even if I am just talking on the phone to them, you can see that smile on their face and know that another problem is solved.
Call NCS at 247-7223. Network Computer Solutions. They're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
Just like the Cyclones, the Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to get the job done. The participating Iowa Kubota dealers are proud sponsors of the Cyclones and invite you to stop by and test drive the full line of Kubota M-Series tractors. The Kubota M-Series are designed to provide farmers with a fuel-efficient, high-performing, and versatile tractor with excellent visibility, spacious, dependable, and up to 168 horsepower. The Kubota M-Series tractors have the power to tackle any job.
To experience the power of Kubota, visit CycloneKubotaDealers.com for a participating dealer near you.
It's hard to get ahead when you start out behind. In school debt, looking for a job in a crowded market. Here's a smarter option. There's a place that will pay you to learn. For real. You get on-the-job training with classroom instruction and get paid and receive benefits the entire time. The apprenticeship program with Sheet Metal Workers Local 263 is like getting paid to go to school and start a solid career. Find out all about this great way to get ahead in life at smart263.org. smart263.org.
Back with you on the Gym Class for a Monday here at KGYM at 3:31. Got another anniversary to throw out there here for you, Mark. I will bring it. It was on this day, well, maybe not this particular day, but it was on where the Final Four National Championship game, Minneapolis, 2001. Not at the U.S. Bank Stadium, same site, at the lovely Hubert H. Humphrey Metrodome in Minneapolis. It was the Duke Blue Devils and the Arizona Wildcats back in 2001, and that was the first day that we started local sports talk here in Cedar Rapids. My program at KCRG started, I think it was at 3 o'clock in the afternoon as well. And the very first guest I had is set to join us right now.
On How about that?
On said anniversary, Mike Halas of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, who was at the Metrodome to cover that particular game and the Final Four, because Justin Wessel The former Cedar Rapids Prairie Mr. Basketball was playing for the Arizona Wildcats. Do you remember all this, or is it just a blur, Mike?
It's a long time ago, but it's the irony is overflowing because today, as everybody knows out there, will be the last time that we do this. This is it.
This is it, huh? We're done.
Do you have breaking news or something, Mike, or what?
Well, I would have thought you might have known by now, but I'll leave that between you and management. I do remember that, Scott, because you remind me every year.
Yeah, and this is a good one because it's at Minneapolis in the same footprint that the Metrodome was laid down in Minneapolis. So, yeah.
Yeah, that was Duke won, right?
Duke won.
Yeah, okay.
Shane Battier was the
I did not enjoy covering Final Fours. I went to three or four of them when they were in the Midwest. And it was just, first of all, football. It always strikes me as weird that the college basketball season ends its season in a football stadium.
Yep.
You know, it's like, let's completely change the way our game looks. And it does. And it just doesn't feel right. And secondly, there's just so much. It's like a Super Bowl, you know, all the media, and there's no way you can get your own story with anybody really involved with the tournament. So it's kind of frustrating from that regard. But, you know, that's a pretty small complaint. And if I'd wanted to go to Minneapolis this year, I probably could have, but I'm glad I'm not there.
Mike, we haven't talked to you since Tyler Cook declared for the draft. Your reaction to that?
Well, he hasn't. I mean, there's been no words out of his mouth, to my knowledge, saying that he's turning pro.
I stand corrected. He was going to make an announcement. Matt Weitzel put out an email, I guess it was, that Cook was still pondering things. I stand corrected.
Well,
all appearances appear that, you know.
It's all semantics, Mark. I mean, I'll be very surprised if he doesn't. And here's what it looks like to me from 25 miles away is that, as is typically the case, Iowa wants to manage the news.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to put out a nice press release at some point with a statement from Cook and a statement from Fran McCaffrey, and everybody's, you know, everything's great, everything's wonderful, all the best. Love you guys, and so forth, and onward. You know, and you see more and more of that is with each passing year, as all these schools want to manage every piece of news possible. They want to break the news. They want to supply the video and the photos from the events, and on and on and on. You know, what are you going to do about it? Truth is, it would be very surprising if he changed. I'm not going to say changed his mind, but if he came back. Just from the standpoint that people who've been through the early entry system once tend to go right back in at the next possible chance. They clearly have goals beyond college and want to get the show on the road.
I would agree with that. I don't think it's surprising to me. I'm not sure Tyler Cook, if he indeed does leave Iowa with 1 year of eligibility remaining, it doesn't surprise me if he will not be in the NBA, but there are many ways to make a great living, whether it be in Europe. He can certainly play in Europe. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Maybe the G League is what he wants to do to try to refine his game. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see and how things play out here anyway.
Yeah. Well, a rule of thumb is that we don't know. We don't know anything. I certainly don't. I mean, look, a few years ago when George Niang and Jared Utoff were both seniors, everybody, I think in Eastern Iowa, thought that Utoff was the one of the two that was going to have an NBA career. Well, it's not the case. Utoff's in St. Petersburg, Russia, and George Niang's in Salt Lake City drawing an NBA paycheck. Deontay Burton, I don't know anybody who said that's a surefire NBA player when he was at Iowa State. He's got an NBA contract in Oklahoma City. Abdel Nader, same thing. So we don't know. I mean, there have been guys who passed through Iowa's way in the last 5-6 years who I thought were NBA players. Devin Marble was drafted, hung around for a little bit, but he's done. Aaron White never played an NBA game. Utoff just had a, you know, very brief time in the league. Peter Jok has yet to get there. It's hard, but there are a lot. There are players every year who you say, I don't think they're going to make it. Who make it for whatever skill sets, whatever niches they fill, or however much improvement they show once they leave a school. So I don't rule out anything when it comes to Cook.
If indeed Tyler Cook does not come back, Nick Bear is also not coming back, obviously. He's exhausted his eligibility. What's this mean for this Iowa basketball team? We knew Bear wasn't coming back, and Iowa is going to miss the intangibles that Nicholas Bear gave to this team. But when you pair that along with Tyler Cook possibly not coming back, what does this mean? What's the look of this team next year?
I think it'll be as deep, if not deeper. I mean, you're going to have the return of Jack Nungy and Cordell Kempsel. These are two players who have played a lot of college basketball. I mean, granted, with Nungy's case, it's one season, but he started, I think, 14 games and played in every game as a freshman. He's added some weight. He's going to be a stronger player. People raved about how he's looked in practice down there. Pencil's a very good player. I mean, Pencil's just a good, solid guy to have in your rotation. He likes to rebound. He's a good defender, I think. Just a team guy. You know, you ask him to do something, and he'll go out and do his darndest to get it done. And then you've got, you know, quite a few veterans. I mean, you lose two veterans if Cook leaves. Three, I'm sorry, Macy Daly. But you've still got 6 or 7 players from your rotation of this season, in addition to Nungy, the Pencil. I don't know where Patrick McCaffrey fits right away, but at some point he does. You've got Connor McCaffrey in there. You've got a point guard from New York, a freshman named Toussaint. I believe that's how it's pronounced. I've never seen him play, but who knows. You've got an off guard named Frederick from Cincinnati, PJ, redshirted this year. So there's going to be plenty of bodies. On the front line, you'll have Garza. You'll have Kreener, who will be a senior with a lot of experience. Garza's been a 2-year starter. You'll have Nungy. You'll have Pencil. You'll have plenty. It's going to be the same old story, I think, with Iowa, is they'll go as far as the guards can take them.
Well, the complexion of the Iowa State team has taken a drastic turn with the announcement that Lard is going to transfer. And apparently Horton Tucker and Wigginton are going to pursue the NBA draft. So the transfer portal may get used a little bit. What do you think?
Well, I suppose so. Right now, they're going to have a lot of players to replace, as you just said. They went from a team with a lot of players to a team that suddenly is not that experienced. So, you know how college basketball goes. This stuff is going to change and change again and change again before the roster is settled in the fall. And I think the help wanted sign might be out there.
Mm-hmm.
Another place where it might be out there is in Lincoln, where Fred Hoiberg has taken over as the head coach in the Nebraska Cornhuskers. First of all, did that surprise you any? What's it going to be like when Fred comes to Carver Hawkeye for the first time, or maybe it won't even be as big a deal as people are making it out to be? I guess your thoughts about what happened in Lincoln.
Well, I think it's a good hire. I think that's pretty much the unanimous opinion. It's a place where you can win, which is a funny thing to say about a place where they've never really won. I mean, they have, I think they're the only Power 5 school that's never won an NCAA tournament game, which is kind of incredible. But they clearly have the commitment to it. They're paying Hoiberg well. The arena's great. The attendance is great. And it's just a matter of going out and securing talent and developing it. And, you know, he did it in 2 years at Ames. when he started at Iowa State, he didn't have much of a roster. Well, he knew how to fill it and quickly. And he's, you know, they're not paying him to bring in a bunch of high school kids and get their brains beat in for 2 years. You're going to have to get some, and you're going to have to keep the recruits that Tim Miles lined up. But nobody in Lincoln wants to go 3-17 in the Big Ten. That's not the idea. And that's not why Hoiberg took the job. So there are going to be a lot of changes in personnel over there, and he's going to, you know, probably have players from hither and yon come in until he starts developing, you know, his own high school pipeline. And people, I don't know if people forget, people in Central Iowa didn't forget, but I get back to the NBA, Niang, Monte Morris, Naz Mitru Long. These are guys Hoiberg recruited out of high school who are in the NBA now. You know, I'd say he did a better job in that regard with high school players than any coach that this state's seen in quite some time. And who's to say he won't do it again in Nebraska? The thing is, you're swimming with a lot of sharks. Hoiberg becomes the eighth coach in the Big Ten who has taken a team to the Sweet 16. Indiana hired one last year. Ohio State hired one last year, before last season, I should say. Illinois has got Brad Underwood, who's been a winner everywhere he's been. So it's, you know, making dramatic improvement at Nebraska doesn't necessarily translate to becoming a Big Ten contender.
The latest, greatest example of Twitter is often great for breaking news, but often horrible if you believe everything you read. Last week, and admittedly, Scott and I bit a little bit because we talked about why this could possibly be the case. And I'm referring to the rumors that Fran McCaffrey was going to meet or did meet with Arkansas. There was a flight plan posted of three destinations that Arkansas was looking for coaches. And it turns out that actually the guy involved was Steve Forbes, a Lone Tree native who was back in the area grieving the loss of his father, Forbes, the East Tennessee State coach. So from the time you read that, Mike, and until now, your thoughts on the whole situation?
Well, my thoughts are, when it comes to coaching openings, don't believe anything. I mean, and don't rule anything out. I understand why people jumped on that. I'm glad that I didn't, but at the same time, you know, just because anybody says there's nothing to it doesn't mean there isn't. And we have no idea how many calls, say, Fran McCaffrey or Steve Prohm or whoever, Kirk Ferentz back in the day when his name was tossed around a lot. We don't know how many calls they get. We don't know who they seriously entertained.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. For all we know, maybe Arkansas did call Fran McCaffrey and said, would this interest you at all? We don't know. But what I do know is that athletic directors are not as smart as agents. These basketball coaches have the rule of the roost. I mean, for instance, getting back to things, I'm sorry, I'm jumping around here, but to show you that don't believe anybody, Eric Musselman, who was the coach at Nevada, his wife texts the Reno newspaper or Reno TV station, I forget which, to say, we're not going anywhere. And he's the new coach at Arkansas.
Hmm.
You know, and maybe that moment that she sent the text, she firmly believed that. I have no idea. In fact, I suppose she did. But they're going to Arkansas, you know. Rick Barnes just coaches Tennessee to a great, great season. And he's apparently looking at UCLA. Well, okay. Is he not? I don't know. Is Tennessee going to say, Rick, we can make your life down here a little better? I don't know. Wouldn't surprise me. Happens all the time, you know? So don't assume anything. Don't disregard anything. But it's the one thing that you do know is that these coaches are going to outwit the athletic directors 99 times out of 100.
Mike, neither, correct me if I'm wrong, neither you or anybody at the Gazette reported on this possible connection with Arkansas and McCaffrey, am I right? And if so, why not?
Well, there were, I'm not going to get into who did and who didn't. I never saw or heard any confirmation from anybody. So I guess that's kind of, you know, an old-fashioned thing to do. But I did type up something at some point last week about it, and I looked at it, and it's like, no, there's just not enough here yet. But, you know, you got to be prepared in this job, I guess, just like every other job.
Before we let you go here, just to show how much everybody knows about sports, Texas Tech was picked to finish 7th in the Big 12, did not receive a vote in the preseason basketball polls, which makes Mark smile because he says he's adamant about polls should not go come out until they're into the season at least halfway. Very good example.
First of the year, please.
Right there. And lo and behold, and they lose to West Virginia, the last place team in the Big 12 at the Big 12 tournament. And here they are playing for a national championship tonight. There's college basketball.
Yeah, if you played out this tournament, you know, 50 times, you'd probably have 50 different championship games. So
at least 40.
Yeah, at least 40. I mean, look at the how the razor-thin margin of the two teams that are in the thing, of how they got there. You know, I mean, Texas Tech slipped past Gonzaga, a better team, but Virginia, you know, how many times out of 100 did they beat Purdue the way they beat Purdue? I'd say one, maybe two. And then we all saw what happened Saturday against Auburn. So single elimination tournaments, you have to win six times, or with some teams seven. You're going to need some luck along the way. And the two teams that are in it tonight are, have been both really good and a little lucky. So there you have it. It's a game that I don't think America's wrapped its arms around. But to me, it's interesting that a team from the Big 12, as you said, that nobody gave any credence to at the beginning of the season is right there. It got there on the back of a kid from Lubbock, and Culver, who's just superb, and a couple of starters, one transferred in from St. John's, one transferred in from South Dakota, which is kind of says something about college basketball, too, that this is, you know what, help wanted. Texas Tech hung the sign out there. Two terrific players took them up on it. Here they are tonight.
There they are tonight. But the NCAA is saying they are going to look into the grad transfer situation and the transfer portal might
You're
not
really
be
going to take two scholarships away from a team that brings in a grad transfer. That's the stupidest thing.
Well, the NCAA has done some things that have been head scratchers before. So
that's
The thing with graduate transfers is it's not a fair rule unless it's somebody helping your team.
Yeah.
And I mean, Iowa's football team has been helped by them.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, it's whatever lens you're looking through at that moment, just like so many other things.
Very much so. Very much so. No Augusta trip I take this year, correct?
No, that's in the rearview mirror.
Okay. But you'll watch.
Yeah, I suppose, you know. I have a hard time watching golf on TV. Because I find that if I fall asleep during the day, it makes it harder for me to sleep when it's bedtime.
But we hope the best for Zach, and hopefully he can get this thing turned
12 around. Years ago he won this 12 thing.
12 years ago.
Wow.
Hard to believe. But
And that was 6 years after I was on with you from the Final Four.
There you go. It's all coming together, man.
And you're expecting me to remember that.
And 28 years after we got the foot of snow on this day in 1973. So, yeah, all coming together.
You know what Game of Thrones says? What's winter is coming.
I hear that.
Mike was in the LaSalle Library for 3 days, out, you know, when that happened. So
in 1973?
That's what I heard, yeah. No mention of poor Wing today, Mike, but thanks.
We'll see you in what, August?
No, we'll try again next week after the Masters. How's that?
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Mike. Appreciate it.
All right.
Mike Halas. Read his stuff online at thegazette.com and give him a follow on Twitter at Halas. We'll take a break, come back, and remind you the KGYM poll question. We'll give you that one more time and have more of the gym class after this.
Speaking 9 different languages, serving over 7,000 clients worldwide. That's Community CPA, a global firm located in Coralville and Des Moines. As trusted advisors in tax and accounting, they make even the most foreign and complicated tax matters simple. Trust them with your personal and corporate extension tax filings. They provide tax returns that are audit-proofed with their value-added data match service. Call Community CPA in Coralville now, 319-208-3712, to improve the quality of your tax preparation. Community CPA.
The Leaderboard is a brand new sports bar in North Liberty with a passion for golf. Tee up in one of their 5 PGA Indoors golf simulators featuring over 40 different courses. Watch sports year-round on the Leaderboard's 24K TVs. Play mini golf, skee ball, darts, pool, pinball, and classic arcade games, and enjoy happy hour from 3 to 7 too. Set up your tee time by calling 319-289-0152. The Leaderboard, 680 Mead Drive, corner of West Penn and 965 in North Liberty, where your next shot is your best shot.
Here's Tony Romo for Skechers Slip-On Footwear.
I like to make my life easy. I got a car that can drive itself, a robot that vacuums my whole house.
Carpet has been cleaned.
And Skechers Slip-Ons. They don't have laces, so I can just slip them on and off with ease. And they take comfort to another level. They're flexible, breathable, and have Skechers air-cooled memory foam. Plus, they come in a wide variety of current styles. Skechers Slip-Ons. You'll never want to wear anything else.
Try Skechers Slip-Ons with air-cooled memory foam today. Skechers. Comfort included.
Introducing the new $5 Biggie Bag from Wendy's. It comes with a new bacon double stack made with a quarter pound of fresh, never frozen beef and topped with crispy applewood smoked bacon. Plus 4 nuggets, fries, and a drink all for just $5. That's right, just $5. The new $5 Biggie Bag from Wendy's is everything you could ever want. Well, at least for lunch. Try Wendy's new $5 Biggie Bag today. Biggie Bag includes 4-piece nuggets, small fries, and a small drink. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. Approximate weight before cooking. Price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
This summer, take the road trip to complete your baseball stadium bucket list.
And when you do, stay at La Quinta by Wyndham Hotels,
where you can now earn and redeem Wyndham Rewards points at La Quinta and thousands of other Wyndham Rewards properties worldwide.
Plus, free bright side breakfast and the free high-speed Wi-Fi so you can stay in the work zone while you're away.
Well, with perks like these, you're going gone.
Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you triumph.
Book direct at LQ.com.
It's time for some straight talk. Picture this. Your favorite team is playing. You're streaming the game. 10 seconds left. Your team shoots. Oops, your data runs out.
Look, don't let that happen. Switch to Straight Talk Wireless and get 25 gigs of high-speed data, all on America's largest and most dependable 4G LTE networks.
Join Team Straight Talk and get unlimited talk and text plus 25 gigs of high-speed data for just $45 a month.
Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart.
First 25 gigs at high-speed, then 2G. See terms at straighttalk.com.
3:56 back with you in the gym class for a Monday at KGYM. A couple reminders, tomorrow we'll talk some Major League Baseball with you. And then on Wednesday, it's first edition of Caddy Smack for 2019. Brian Haas will join us here in studio. And we will talk golf with you, preview the Masters, and more. Coming up, take your phone calls. If you have questions after the first nice weekend of the year, you develop some nasty habits over the winter. We'll talk about that with Brian Haas coming up.
It'll be fun. Yep.
That'll be on the Wednesday edition of the show. We are presented, as always, by Third Base Brewery at the corner of Blair's Ferry Road and Sea Avenue Northeast at Cedar Rapids. Want to thank those folks that are locally owned and operated. Stop on by. Tell them that the gym class and KGYM sent you. Texas Tech, Virginia, coming up tonight. We've got it for you at 6:30. That's the subject of our poll question tonight.
Who wins tonight's game? Virginia or Texas Tech? Go ahead and vote.
Go ahead and vote. KGYMradio.com. Back to wrap her up after this.
Introducing the new $5 Biggie Bag from Wendy's. It comes with a new bacon double stack made with a quarter pound of fresh, never frozen beef and topped with crispy applewood smoked bacon. plus 4 nuggets, fries, and a drink all for just $5. That's right, just $5. The new $5 Biggie Bag from Wendy's is everything you could ever want. Well, at least for lunch. Try Wendy's new $5 Biggie Bag today. Biggie Bag includes 4-piece nuggets, small fries, and a small drink. Fresh beef available in the contiguous U.S., Alaska, and Canada. Approximate weight before cooking. Price and participation may vary in Alaska and Hawaii.
Today, business happens here, here, and virtually anywhere. Because today, innovative companies are reinventing the way business happens. And they need people who can keep up. With the expertise and technology to get packages to over 150 million delivery points. So, who can help you deliver the future of commerce? The United States Postal Service. See why we deliver more e-commerce packages to homes than anyone at usps.com/future.
As soon as we're back out in our yard, yep, we get company.
Dandelions, lurking crabgrass, and weak thin grass. But Scott's Turf Builder Triple Action takes care of them all. Now, with one bag, you can kill weeds, prevent crabgrass for up to 4 months, and feed for greener grass. Triple action, so your lawn thrives, guaranteed. Only from Scotts.
Weeds aren't welcome here.
This is a Scotts yard. Pick up a bag of Scotts Triple Action today.
Back in the gym class on a sunny 71-degree Monday. Wasn't the case in 1973, Mark. And more information on that that photo that the Gazette ran on Blair's Ferry Road.
Yeah, we got a text from my former colleague at the Gazette, Greg Alice, who informs us that the famous picture of the Blair's Ferry Road with the stranded cars was taken by Gazette photographer Dwayne Kroc, also one of my former colleagues. He recently told me he was able to move through the snow to get the picture because he was riding a dirt bike and followed the tracks of a snowplow.
That's the only way he was going to get there.
The intrepid Dwayne Kroc.
And he got a great photo, too.
Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, good stuff right there. Talk Major League Baseball coming tomorrow on the program. As we mentioned, Caddy Smack. Looking forward to talking golf with you coming up on Wednesday, Masters Week. Of course, we have the Masters, third and fourth round, this Saturday and Sunday for you right here on KGYM. Who wins tonight?
Tech.
I think Tech wins, too. We both like.
We're on a roll.
The Big 12 and Texas Tech to get the victory tonight. Talk about it tomorrow.